The script ends with the harsh conclusion that Donald's daydreaming had become a serious danger. It is implied that even if Donald does recover from his injuries, unless he faces up to his emotional problems, unless he in fact grows a spine, his nightmare will come true and he will be a failure in life. So the poor parenting that Donald received led him to run away from difficult issues rather than facing them head on. And in case listeners missed this message from following the play, Jack Griffin's commentary after the broadcast makes it clear. And in fact, in his dissection of the story, Griffin really demonstrates democratic child rearing principles. For example, he suggests that Donald's behavior had a purpose. He says, and I'm quoting here, "Although daydreaming may seem unimportant and unproblematic, from a psychiatrist's point of view, daydreaming such as Donald is serious. It is a sign of retreat from reality. Donald found that real life was painful, uncomfortable, and embarrassing. So he closed his mind to the harsh and unpleasant facts of life as it was and focused his attention on the pleasant world of make-believe. In this way, Donald was able to feel less anxious and a great deal more comfortable." Had Donald's parents or his teachers recognized Donald's daydreaming as a danger sign, they could have given him the understanding, sympathetic support, and guidance that he really needed to face his problems rather than to run away from them and ultimately put his life in danger. Griffin, in his commentary, further states that the blame for the situation lay partly in the kind of family and home life that Donald had, and partly in Donald himself. However, I think it's evident that the parents here hold ultimate responsibility. It's because of his father's harshness and impatience and his mother's overprotectiveness and dominance that Donald felt his life to be painful, uncomfortable, and embarrassing in the very first place. And Griffin proposes that, if Donald's father could have put his arm around his son and said to him, "I know something is bothering you, son, and I want to understand and help," that this would have been much better. And here, Griffin is illustrating the principle that children's bad behavior should be addressed through discussion, guidance, and direction, rather than through condemnation or corporal punishment. It's through this kind of discussion that children are able to learn right from wrong and to take responsibility for their own actions. Such an approach to parenting would have put into practice the principles and methods of democracy. But unfortunately, as Griffin notes, there was no real teamwork between Donald and either parent. Had his parents adopted a teamwork approach, then Donald would have learned to take responsibility for his actions, and he would have solved his problems in a much more constructive fashion. In this way, his parents would have helped Donald really to help himself. So Donald would have internalized the mental hygiene message. As Griffin tells the audience, "The most effective approach is to help the child think about this problem and work out a plan for himself." The teacher too, Griffin suggests, could have been much more helpful. And indeed, every audience member has a role to play in preventing situations like Donald's from happening. So Griffin implores, all of us have opportunities for helping people with emotional difficulties, such as Donald and his family. On the script and Griffin's commentary then nicely illustrate, I think, the ultimate aim of mental hygienists like Griffin. That is to have each Canadian citizen really follow expert advice, to put into practice the philosophy of mental hygiene by keeping surveillance over one another and over oneself in order to detect and to correct emotional maladjustments and more severe mental health problems as soon as possible. And then, of course, to seek further expert help if needed. And really, the future of Canada, and the world, in fact, depended on this. If we were to establish a liberal democracy and have healthy citizens. I think the sentiment is really nicely captured in publicity material for one of the series, and this is a quote from one of the pamphlets here. Human nature will have to be changed in a hurry if we are to survive in the atomic age. And where do we begin to change human nature? With ourselves, of course. And how do we begin? By understanding the reasons for our behavior and our attitudes. And with greater understanding of ourselves, perhaps we can help our children to grow up into happy and useful citizens. When the causes of hostility and aggressive actions are well understood, perhaps the world will become a happier and safer place for all of its citizens. So here is the key message, the key mental hygiene message. However, at the center of this project, there really is a contradiction. Children were to be recognized and treated as autonomous individuals with minds of their own on the one hand, but on the other, they were also expected to conform to prescribed norms of behavior.